If I told you our story, would you believe me? If I told you what we're about to do, would you judge me? If you knew what I knew, would you stop me?
We were worried about you, Vincent.
Sorry to hear about your dad.
I think I know who did this. I feel if I tell you, you'll lose control.
One day at a time, baby. You guys have any idea who?
I hear all the boys are getting back together.
So you're telling me you just sat with Rome and talked?
Rome saw his chance and he made his move. I know it was him.
So you're not wasting no more time, huh?
There's no time to waste.
For an eye, tooth for a tooth.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
And now for something completely different.
Hey, I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm in 3 Halls of Fame. For the young fans, they don't give a damn. They just give a damn about themselves and what they're hearing now. And I got no problem with those rules. I know the rules going in. I'm happy to play the game that way.
And when Ivan came off with that knee drop from the top rope and he pinned me, I thought that something happened. I couldn't hear a thing. You could have heard the pin drop in that arena. It touched me so deeply that when I went in the dressing room, I really felt depressed.
I'll tell you that, I'll tell you right to his face. And if Hogan and I, if he wanted to get in a real street fight with me, trust me, he would lose, and he knew it.
You know, that's the other thing. They give you the belt, and they're like, okay, you're in charge of me. I was like, what?
When you mention a guy like Harley Race, that kind of legendary status, it's obvious why people would get upset.
Oh, as I'm concerned, Roddy Piper was not a wrestler. He wasn't even a good worker. If he had to go out and work his way to the top and not have good friends like Jim Barnett. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good guy. He's just not a tough guy.
Bro, I swear to you, I don't have an ego. Like, I don't give a crap. That stuff is not important.
important to me. People don't know me. They have no idea of who I am. They know of me as being a fictional character that they saw on TV.
People didn't understand that, you know, the guy they saw in the ring that happened to be using his real name and happened to actually be the president of the company, they really believed that that guy that they loved to hate was actually a pretty decent guy. And I think many people have the perception that I really was that character.
Welcome to the Two-Man Power Trip. I am your host, JP John Paz. With me today, very special guest, UFC legend, former UFC lightweight champion, absolute legend of MMA, Mr. Frankie Edgar. Frankie, welcome in. How you doing?
Good, John. How are you?
Doing good. What's going on in your world? You got some acting chops now. What's going on with your latest movie?
Yeah, I just The Bastard Son just came out. Me and Kevin Donato, he was the writer, director, starred in it, all that stuff. And, he asked me to take a role in this movie. And, you know, I just jumped at the opportunity, thought it was a pretty, cool thing to do, try out, never really acted before at this level. So, jumped on in.
Man, what kind of made you think like, hey, let's try this acting thing out? I mean, that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, you know, I never thought I would have done this. I actually do a podcast called Champion the Tramp with Roger Matthews and Kevin. We had on as a guest, you know, spoke about his acting career. He's a local guy, you know, from Jersey, kind of the area I'm from. And, you know, just talked about his career, him serving the Army. He talked about a project he had coming up. And, you know, one thing led to another. He asked us to be in this project. And, you know, me and Roger both jumped in.
Pretty cool. So tell us about The Bastard Son. Tell us what it's all about. I know, obviously, it's awesome because it's based in Jersey, and I'm a Jersey guy. So tell us a little bit about Bastard Sons.
Yeah, you know, it's not a mafia movie. It's a gangster flick, you know. Four brothers kind of, through crime family, I guess, you know. Not real blood brothers, but, you know, kind of, brothers through loyalty and stuff like that, get together to avenge a death in the family and you know, kind of rise to power. So, you know, definitely a good Jersey, you know, a flick, gangster flick, kind of real fitting for me to start to, you know, break my teeth in.
Yeah, perfectly fitting, right? And this is the 25th anniversary of Sopranos too, which is nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Kevin Interzonato, you know, had a couple parts in Sopranos, and Al Sapienza, who plays a big part in the movie, obviously was a, you know, big player in the Sopranos, you know, show back in the day.
Were you a fan? Were you a big fan of Sopranos?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I remember starting to watch it, you know, I think I was in high school, and then, you know, watching all through college and, you know, finishing it, you know, once I came back from school, watching it with my buddies, you know, that final controversial episode.
Did you like it or not? Because so many people have different opinions on that.
It was all right. You know, I didn't like how it just, I remember we thought, you know, how it just went black. I thought someone hit the remote. I'm like, who's on the remote? You know? So I think the fact that there was no definitive ending, I didn't really like as much, but I mean, it's still, you know, top-notch TV.
I actually went back and rewatched it, and that part got me again because the cat comes in the room, my son comes in the room. I thought somebody hit the remote. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And they got me twice because they got me originally, got me there.
I didn't
like
that
ending. Yeah, right. I didn't like that ending. I need a definitive what happened. You know,
for sure. You wanted to see more.
But that's cool though. Like as far as you acting, you're kind of going into not Sopranos-esque, but into that genre. So that's pretty cool, being a fan and then jumping into it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you know, everybody loves, you know, Goodfellas, Godfather, you know, a bunch of those flicks I kind of grew up on, you know, especially being from the area, you know, really resonates with us.
When you look at acting in general, are like Bastard Sons is out, are you looking to do more? Are you going to be like, are you going to be delving in? Or are you going to start doing acting?
You know, if people come to me and want me to be part of their projects, I would definitely consider it. I'm not really out there seeking anything. This is kind of a let's see what happens type of scenario. I would love to see there to be a sequel in this movie if it does well. I think Kevin has some pretty good ideas of where to go with the story, and I'd love to be a part of that. But again, if another project comes across my way that makes sense for me, you know, I had a great time doing this, so I think I would take another shot at it.
Are you in acting school? Do you do acting lessons, anything like that, or no?
No acting school. I'm trying to open up a jiu-jitsu mixed martial arts school in my hometown right now. That's kind of my sole focus.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Is it going to be Toms River or is it going to be someplace else?
In Toms River, yep.
Oh, that's awesome. So it's going to be jiu-jitsu based, but you're going to have some MMA stuff as well?
Yeah, jiu-jitsu based, but I'm going to have MMA, you know, for kids and Muay Thai and, you know, Carter kickboxing, a whole bunch of stuff.
When you're doing that and you're kind of doing that, can they have like any better of a name on the board than you? I mean, that's pretty good, especially Jersey.
Yeah, no, it's good to, you know, have the accolades to be able to, you know, open up something. But I think it's just a good opportunity. You know, I always wanted to, you know, get into teaching and stuff, even, you know, when I was a young wrestler. So I never just wanted to cut into my own career. So to be able to do it now when I'm done, I could focus on, you know, the programs, the kids. That's definitely something I'm looking forward to.
Are you technically officially retired from MMA? Does that mean you're opening this and you're done?
I am. I retired in November of 22 with my last fight. I'm pretty much. Well, I still train every day. You know, so never say never. But you know, for the most part, I'm looking for other things to do with my life.
So after Gutierrez, after MSG, you said that's enough. You're done.
Yeah. You know, even before that fight, I kind of thought that was my ending. You know, and if anything, the fight kind of, you know, exemplified that for me.
So when you do that and you're kind of looking back, what do you think is like the legacy of Frank Yeager? I mean, I'm saying you're Jersey legend, all that stuff, but like, what do you say if somebody's looking back at Frank Yeager? What do you think? What's the legacy or the stamp of your career?
Yeah. You know, there's someone that never said no to a challenge and, someone that always left it all in there. You know, I always say I never walked in a fight thinking I was going to lose. You know, I didn't win them all, but, I prepared like I was going to win them all. So, I have no regrets. I left it all out there. You know, you go watch some of my fights. You can see what type of person I am and the way I carry myself. And, you know, I had a great time. I had a great career. I literally, you know, speaking of movies, you know, Rocky movies, Bloodsport, kickboxing movies, you know, those movies are probably a big part of why I got into MMA. So to kind of come bring it back full circle and be in a movie myself is pretty cool.
Do you consider yourself almost like a modern day Rocky? Like, or like when you're fighting, kind of like the underdog, do you ever consider yourself that?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, you know, I was always a smaller guy, you know, especially when I was at 55, you know, fighting up bigger guys, even at 45, a smaller guy. And, you know, I found ways to be successful. So, you know, I like to say I'm the undersized overachiever. And, you know, that's definitely something I hang my hat on.
What do you kind of lend that to? Like just natural toughness? Do you work harder than everybody? You know, like how do you kind of explain that? Because you are a smaller guy, especially for 155.
Yeah, you know, the way you do it, one thing is the way you do everything. And, you know, I always train hard. I train 100% ever since I was a wrestler, since I was a young kid. If I was going to do something, I was going to do it the right way. You know, everyone have any regrets, and that's the best way to avoid that. You know, put your all in, and if you still end up short, you can't blame nobody, you know.
Do you think wrestling is the best base for MMA?
I think it's person by person. I mean, BJ came from you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Anderson Silva came from Muay Thai. It's definitely, you know, case by case. But, I mean, me, since I came from wrestling, I'm going to say wrestling. I think not so much the skill itself, just the upbringing of a wrestler. You know, you learn how to train. You learn how to compete. You know, we wrestle, you know, my son, I mean, geez, he's 13 years old. He's probably wrestled over, you know, 600 matches already. So, you know, you get that repetition a lot as a wrestler.
I was just talking to Dan Henderson, about the same thing. Obviously, he was gifted with that right hand, too, but he was saying wrestling is the best base. He can't get better than wrestling. And it's hard to argue because there's so many guys that were champions that were wrestlers originally.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, even still today, you know, wrestling is very heavy. And, like, even if you weren't a wrestler, you have to learn how to defend wrestling, for sure. You know, like, even George St. Pierre, I mean, he's one of the best wrestlers in MMA. He didn't wrestle as an amateur, so... you got to pick it up though, if you want to be successful in the sport.
When you are a wrestler too, like you used to cut and weight, right? You're used to certain things that kind of mesh well with MMA.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's I believe probably the wrestling, community maybe influenced the whole weight cut community in MMA, unfortunately, you know? So, I'm very accustomed to all that stuff.
Did you like cutting weight for MMA as far as, you know, doing 145 and 135? Were you okay with that, or did you not really a big fan of that?
I mean, I never liked cutting weight. You know, you had to do it throughout high school and college, but back then we kind of did it a little barbaric ways. You know, this once I got to the UFC, once I was really cutting weight for 45 and more so for 35, I was actually cutting weight. You have nutritionists and diet plans. You do it the right way. And, you know, I'm a very disciplined person. Like I said, I don't like taking any shortcuts. So if I did it the right way and prepared 8 weeks out, the weight cut was never really an issue. I mean, you just had to be disciplined.
When you look at UFC 300 coming up, there's no way you'll be a part of it. You're definitely retired. You don't want, because you were a part of UFC 200. No chance?
Nah, yeah, no chance. No one's knocking on my door, so no chance.
I don't know. They need some sort of a headliner for that show. It's looking pretty weak right now.
Yo, Dana will come through, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Because Connor, I don't think is going to be, I don't think he's a part
of
it.
No, I think they said June or July or something. He's coming back, so that won't be in time for that.
Yeah, it looks like probably July for International Fight Week, he'll probably be fighting Michael Chandler.
Right, yeah, yep.
So, hey, come on, they need somebody. Maybe Jose Aldo against you for the third time, maybe.
Hey, let's say if the check's heavy enough, we'll see. Anything's possible.
Looking back at just some of the fights of your career, like you could say, you know, PJ Penn, Jose Aldo, but I always think about Gray Maynard. Those three fights, they kind of like exemplify you because it's like, oh, he's getting his ass kicked. And then, no, he's not. It's a complete turnaround. Very, very Rocky-esque. What are your like kind of just memories of Gray Maynard and like that feud? I mean, that series of fights.
Yeah, they really upped my game. You know, I fought BJ back-to-back, Gray back-to-back, and then Benson back-to-back. So, you know, those training camps really upped my game. You know, I was fighting big guys at 55. Definitely, you know, made me prove some stuff to myself even in the fight. You know, I've up until that point, I never really been rocked. And I got rocked and was able to respond and come back and tie the second one and then you know, finish the third one with a KO. So, yeah, that was definitely defining moments in my career. You know, me and Gray will be attached, you know, together forever because of that. And, yeah, that's the good stuff that comes from fighting.
Those fights, too, it's like, man, he definitely has a big size advantage over. You know what I mean? It's almost like, man, it's a little bit of a mismatch here, but not really. I mean, maybe on paper, but not really, right?
Yeah. You know, size does matter, I guess, once the skill levels are the same. But luckily, I definitely played to my strengths. You know, I was being a smaller guy, in and out, a lot of speed, a lot of volume. Where are those guys now?
It's funny. It's like, let's say 11 of the 15 rounds or almost 15 rounds you guys were in there together or around that. It almost seemed like, I guess it was 13 rounds, but most of the rounds were like even. Everything's even until you get that TKO in that final fight. It's almost like very, very evenly matched, just even given the size advantage he had.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was super competitive. I mean, MMA is, you know, like most sports are a game of inches. I mean, MMA, you know, even more so because the consequences are so grave.
Did you ever think of like, oh man, I'm done. You know, like, oh, he KO'd me, I'm done. Or did that ever hit your head? I mean, you know, I know you got rocked, but like, were you ever out of it or were you going to bounce back no matter what?
I'll be honest, the times I was really rocked, I don't remember much. You know, I was kind of on autopilot. Looking back, you know, I could see I'm listening to my coaches. So I was mentally there, but you know, I don't remember a lot of those situations in the fights.
Do you think the BJ Penn, the back-to-back wins, pretty shocking at the time, just because, you know, he's a huge legend. He's unbeatable. He's the king of 155. Everything else they put on his name. Obviously, he's one of the all-time greats, Hall of Famer. But were you kind of a little surprised just because, like, they put that put you on the map beating him back-to-back?
Yeah. You know, the first time I fought him, I had to kind of convince myself that I could beat him. You know, that was the time he's licking blood off his gloves and just running through the best of the best. Like, no one's even giving him a competition. So, you know, I talked myself in by fight night, and I had a great performance and won a close fight. But by the second fight, I knew I could beat him because I just did. So that's when I was able to, you know, turn it up another notch and not, you know, kind of I maybe in the first fight I was a little holding back a little bit just because I respected him so much. In the second fight, I believe I opened up and allowed myself to come and just, you know, just do what I do.
Did you notice like a rise in popularity after that? Because I know you beat Sean Sherk before. You had one over Jim Miller, Tyce Griffin. I mean, there were some good wins, big wins. But did you feel like that really put you on the map and kind of made you a star?
Yeah, winning that title just does that for you. You know, you're the guy. at that moment. You're headlining cards back to back, you know, beating a guy like BJ. Like I said, he had the aura about him like second to none. I mean, he still does. Still does, but you know, even back then it was just, you know, so fresh.
To me, those back-to-back Benson Henderson fights, you could tell me if you agree or not. I kind of thought you won both, to be honest. And I was actually shocked. I know the split decision, you definitely won. The first one where you lost the title, that was unanimous for him. I still say you won that one. Do you agree, or am I crazy?
No, I do. Of course I'm going to say it, but no, I do. You know, a bunch of my buddies talk about it, and that first fight. I mean, I got hit with a big upkick in the second round that I was dominating, and maybe hit with an upkick at, like, the last 5 seconds. So maybe you have to give him that round, but that may change the fight a little bit. But the second fight especially, I thought I beat him 4-1. And to lose a split decision was it was disheartening. But, I mean, that's kind of, you know, we see it across the board in our sport, and that's just how it goes.
Yeah, I remember both fights. I was at the bar for both fights. We're like, oh, Frankie wins. Like, and we're like shocked. We're like, oh, my God, he lost. And then the second one, we're like, there's no doubt about it. He definitely won. And then he lost again. Sometimes the judging in MMA, am I right? It's a little not so good.
It is tough. Yeah, it's not. I mean, you know, even boxing has some bad judging, but MMA, I think we see it a little bit more. Maybe there's more fights or something. But, yeah, it's tough. I always feel like as fighters get into the role as judges, like former fighters or former, you know, competitors, or at least guys trained in MMA, get into the sport, I think the judging will get better. But it's still going to take some time.
What do you think about Benson? I mean, obviously, those were tough fights. I think you won them both. I mean, it's arguable, maybe not because of the judges, but I think you won both. What do you think about him and just his fight style and just the way he goes about his business?
Yeah, I mean, hey, he gets after it. He had a great career in the UFC, had a great career in Bellator. I think he's fighting. Did he fight Anthony Pettis in the Karate Combat League or something? I don't know if it happened or it's going to happen.
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, Benson's a tremendous athlete. He's a big 55er, obviously went up to 70. You know, real good dexterity, real well rounded. But yeah, you know, another solid competitor.
You finally get that third and final fight with BJ Penn, finally knock him out. What was the experience on The Ultimate Fighter like? Is that like scripted at all? Because it seems like sometimes that show is, you know, maybe a little fluff. What was your experience on the show?
Yeah, it was cool. It wasn't scripted at all, I wouldn't say, but you know, they just, you know, you got to just speak after this, speak after that. You know, they tell you when you want to talk, they tell you, you know, what they want to talk about, but I it's not, you know, they weren't telling me what to say. Me and BJ always got along, so it wasn't like no drama or anything. I got along with all his coaches too, so there was never no drama, I guess. Maybe that doesn't make for the best TV, but you know, me and BJ were just being ourselves.
So they didn't tell you to Rampage Jackson it and break a door down and destroy property and stuff. You went on mute for a second.
All right, there we go. Sorry about that. None of that.
So, obviously, you know, you beat Penn. You have a bunch of good wins, like Stevens and Mendez and Cub Swanson, Uriah Faber, just a bunch of, like, nice wins, but around losses to Jose Aldo. Those fights were super close to me, too. Did you feel like the Aldo fights?
The first fight we had was super close. You know, again, I thought I won, but I could see how people said he won, all that. The second fight, I felt like he had my number a little bit. That one, I felt like I kind of laid an egg that fight, you know, just kind of no adjustments on my part. I was kind of, you know, trying to stick a square peg through a round hole, you know what I mean? And kind of just being hell bent on doing what I was going to do. I needed to kind of take a step back and maybe make some adjustments, but, I didn't do that time. And again, that's just the way it goes.
With him, obviously, he's one of the all-time greats. He kind of had some injury bug and everything else. I know he's still going, but it's one of those things where he's definitely, I mean, arguably he's one of the best, right? I mean, he's got to be up there resume wise
absolutely one of the best lightweights ever, you know, among all the lightweight divisions. I mean, he was running through people for a very, very, very long time, you know, through WC, UFC, and you know he fought some good fights. Even his losses, he always puts it out.
When you make the transition from 155 to 145, is that just because it's easier for you, or do you think that it was an advantage? How come you decided to do featherweight?
You know, I thought it was my quickest way back to the title. I just lost it to Benson twice. I knew it was going to take a while to get back to the title. I thought down at 45, you know, a win here, a win there, I could get a shot. And I actually ended up taking a short fight notice and ended up getting the shot right away. So that's what I would do. My whole idea was get back to a championship belt.
Do you think you lost some? I don't know. You know what they say, when sometimes people cut weight, they lose something, whether it be speed or power. You feel like you lost anything cutting weight or no?
Not at 45, because 45, I pretty much, you know, that's what I walk. Once I'm in good shape, I probably cut like, you know, 7 pounds. You know, at 55, I cut nothing. 35 was actually cutting weight.
Now, what about 35? You felt like you lost something there?
You know, and it's tough to say. I did it so late in my career, you know. So I don't know if maybe age had a little factor. I fought the best guys, too. You know, when I fought Pedro Munhoz, I was at 35. I felt amazing. The whole training camp, I felt amazing. Even my training camps for my last two fights leading up, you know, I had good training camps. The weight cut was rather easy. So I don't know if it affected me or age affected me. It's just, you know, life.
Now, they always say, you know, age catches up with everybody. I feel like MMA fighters specifically, right? Because that's got to be rough. Once you get up there in age, your chin doesn't get stronger. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get faster, right? It's got to catch up with you.
Yeah, for sure. And, I most people usually go up as they get in age. I kind of went down, and I don't know if that maybe was the exemplifies some of those things a little bit more because I'm going down in weight classes. But, age, you know, it matters. It's a young man's sport. There's no doubt about it. I hate it. I would never say it when I was fighting, you know, but it's just it's just the reality of it all.
And you never got finished before. And as you start to move up in age, that's when the finishes happen, which seems like obvious, but that's what happened.
Yeah. That maybe weight cuts too. You know, I think I do believe, you know, cutting weight could have a little effect on your chin. You know, you kind of see that a little bit more, but possibly both those things.
Did you love fighting in Madison Square Garden? You know, home away from home there.
I did. The first one I got to fight, you know, was the first card there. I was a big a proponent of getting it legalized in New York, you know, with the UFC all the way since back 2009-10. I went down to the New York, you know, Congress with everybody, and to be able to fight on the first card, you know, I think I opened the pay-per-view, got a win. That was something that's just some memories I'll never forget. Now I got to fight there two more times. Obviously the results didn't go the way I wanted to, but still awesome to, you know, be walking through the crowd, seeing so many familiar faces and all that stuff.
Almost like a hometown hero there. Almost like you got the home field advantage. Definitely.
Absolutely. You know, Henzo Gracie's is literally on 30th right next to the Garden, and I trained there many, many days.
As we hit the wind down here, we'll head towards the finish. Do you have some favorite fights? I know I have some favorite fights, but you, just looking back at your career, do fighters have favorite fights or stuff they like to, you know, look back on and really just say, hey, man, that was the best, or that was my favorite?
I think it's tough to say one. You know, obviously winning the title always stands out, just, you know, reaching the pinnacle. Graham Maynard 3, just because of the finish and the history we have. But I think Yair Rodriguez stands out for me. You know, everyone's trying to write me off and, put a stamp on that. The Cub Swanson, the 5-rounder where I got to finish late in the fight, that's just another one that stands out, just because, you know, just kind of kept looking for that finish and got it. You know, at one time was the latest finish in UFC history, and then Demetrius Johnson, I think, beat it like 2 weeks after that. But those fights, and even the Chad Mendes fight with the knockout, just because everybody was talking about he had some power and this and that, and I was able to get that finish. So those fights kind of stand out for me.
Edgar Penn, too, obviously was a good pay-per-view buy rate, too. But I love that because that kind of cemented it. Like, it wasn't a fluke last time when he beat BJ. You know what I mean? Like, he beat him. Like, he's better than him.
Yeah, no, that was it. It was definitely it. That put the stamp on it. And, you know, nobody wanted to give me my, I don't know if it's called giving my roses or whatever, you know, during the first fight. But that second fight, I got everybody's respect.
Resume-wise, I mean, pretty packed. I mean, you fought a lot of legends, a lot of guys that could be considered the best of their time, or, you know, Aldo and BJ Penn, obviously Hall of Fame guys. Do you consider that resume like unbelievable? Like, you fought everybody you wanted to fight, or is there guys out there like, I didn't get the chance to fight that guy, I wish I would have?
No, I pretty much fought everybody. I mean, I did it across 3 weight classes too. You know, I don't think many people could say that. Maybe one fight I would like to have is I think the people would like to see maybe me versus Clay Guida. You know, we were both kind of wrestlers in the lightweight division, and did he go down to 45 at one point? I think maybe, and then Dominic Cruz. I think those could have been some fun fights too.
hey, come on, get out of retirement. Let's make something happen for UFC 300. It's lacking right now. Come on.
But, well, that's a big call, Dana.
Yeah, definitely. As far as you acting, though, tell us about Bastard Sons. Give us one last, you know, big push for the movie that everybody should want to see.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was an awesome story. It was awesome to do. It's an independent film. It's a gangster flick. Got a couple good twists in it, you know, some surprises. It seems it's a real Jersey blue collar type film, kind of just like your boy over here. You know what I mean? So I had a blast doing it, and I hope everybody gets to enjoy it. You know, definitely check it out and tell me what you think.
Where can everybody see it?
It's on most VOD platforms, but specifically Amazon Prime, iTunes, and Vudu.
When you look at it, too, I was reading the presser. It says Saga. So that means there's going to be more. So I hope, right? Hopefully there'll be more.
Well, yeah, the Kevin, the writer and producer, director, actor, all that stuff, he has some pretty good ideas for where the direction of this movie. So, again, if it does well, I think you'll see that.
And what are you going to be up to next, just as far as, like, what you got coming down the pipeline?
Yeah, I'm actually opening a jiu-jitsu MMA school in my hometown right now. You know, really focusing on that. Hoping to be open within the next couple of months. So that's the goal right now.
What is the name going to be? Just Frankie Edgar's BJJ?
It's going to be Frankie Edgar's Iron Army Academy.
Oh, everybody. Okay, everybody in Jersey, definitely keep your eye on that. You can't get a better teacher or name on the door, especially New Jersey, right?
Yeah, hey, I for sure. I'm gonna go in there and do it like I do everything and give it my all. That's for sure.
Now, where can everybody find you, social media and otherwise?
Just Frankie Edgar everywhere.
All right, Frankie, thank you so much for all time. Really appreciate it. Good luck with the movie.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Definitely good talking to you. Take care, John.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick 'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
We loved the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Come on.
comes in here and steps in on that left hook, just perfect accuracy. Right on the button and caught Chad. Most people thought if anybody's gonna get an early knock, it'll be Chad Mendes, right across the nose. Right hand first and boom, right on the button.
This one is, wow, he survived. He got him with a big shot.
Edgar's doing a great job of landing shots in this scramble.
Trying to get to the mount. Edgar looking to finish the fight right here. Taking advantage of Matt Veach.
Clean shots by Frankie Edgar.
Herb Dean right on top of the action. Frankie Edgar.
He's got his back.
Purple belt. Veach is in true survivor mode.
Carlo Almeida.
Now, so he can finish the naked.
He's got it.
Frankie Edgar submits Matt Veach.
Awesome job of capitalizing on that moment.
Starts with the right hand, and he looks for the hook, and then it was just, it was very methodical. Got the mount, took the back. And all that Ricardo Almeida training pays off. Rear naked choke victory.
Now Frankie Edgar moving into half guard now, landing big shots with his left hand. Frankie Edgar working hard for the finish here. BJ Penn covering up, but barely. And obviously, Edgar, a big favorite here tonight, but I don't think many people expected BJ Penn's offense to be so muted. It has been all Frankie Edgar since the opening touch of the gloves. Another big elbow there. 1 minute now to go in the third. Frankie Edgar just continues to shift gears. Really putting the pressure on BJ Penn right now, landing shot after shot. And if BJ Penn doesn't work, Herb Dean is going to stop this fight. Frankie Edgar finishes the legend BJ Penn. Well,
on the ground is where Frankie Edgar really did the most amount of damage. Shot after shot, switching from punches to elbows and back again. More damage attacking that side that was bleeding profusely. And Frankie Edgar kept advancing his position, kept turning it up round after round, and got the finish.
And here's the end of the fight. Herb Dean has seen enough. 30 seconds to go, and he's still looking for the finish here. Ooh, another big elbow to the chin of Cub Swanson. Oh. Edgar doing everything in his power to try to get Swanson out of there. Swanson covering up. 10 seconds to go in the fight.
Terrific dominance on
the
ground.
That's it! Frankie Edgar gets the late finish!
With seconds to go, he pulls it off.
Frankie Edgar was not gonna be denied here tonight.
Goes for the choke here last minute, cranking the neck and gets the tap immediately from Cub Swanson. Incredible.
That uppercut that had him badly hurt. And Frankie picked his shots. Uppercut again. Right hook. Let's see it again. That right drops him. That one takes him out. Frankie jumps on him, and he's face first and out.
Toughest kid ever from Jersey.
Wow. And let's see it again. That one drops him, and this is the finishing shots here. No doubt about it. Face down. Frankie Edgar retains his title in devastating
and very satisfying fashion.